Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to another episode of the Video Games Now podcast. My name's Rodney, and joined via Skype is William.
Hey, how's it going, everyone?
And our returning guest, Cole.
Hello, hello.
And Cole hasn't been on the podcast since it was a PG podcast, and it was really hard for me not to swear during that moment in time, but Cole found it extra difficult, I think.
Yeah, you guys stopped me from swearing, and just by the sound of my voice, you can tell I'm a very crass person.
Just full of rage.
All of it. Yeah. At least you're here.
Yeah.
This is my outlet.
So
we threatened him with a bar of soap.
Yeah.
I don't smell that bad.
We were armed to the tits with axe cans. Shower in a can. Anyways, so last Monday was we released part one of our E3 predictions. We had Nintendo, Ubisoft, and Bethesda, and today we're going to be talking about the rest of the Clash. I meant to say Clash, but I said Clash for some reason. I don't
Clash
know
Clash of Clans.
Yeah, Clash of Clans. We'll talk about that one day. Anyways, so yeah, E3 Part 2 coming up right now. All right, so Cole, you weren't with us last week, but why don't you give us what you think is gonna be shown at E3 for the Nintendo guys, Bethesda and Ubisoft? What are you looking forward to the most?
Oh man, for Nintendo, obviously Smash. You know my love for Smash.
Yeah, me and you soloed or duoed, I guess, a podcast on that, and we it did really well.
Yeah, I'm so excited for that, and I'm excited to clock. Well, I actually don't have a Switch, so it's funny because the only reason I got a Wii U was to play Smash, and then when Breath of the Wild came out, I played that on Wii U, but now I'm like, man, the only reason I'm going to get a Switch is for Smash again, so it's keeping my my Nintendo dreams alive.
Yeah, and what about, have you seen the trailers for the new Pokemon games?
Yeah, actually, I haven't seen the trailers. I've just been reading a lot of articles about it, and you know, I play Pokemon Go, and it's actually kind of funny how much they're connected. Like, all the updates for Pokemon Go will talk about the new games coming up and stuff, and how they'll release Pokemon based on the new releases. Like, they're like, we're gonna release more of these Pokemons because of this that's coming up. So they're actually, I can't really say working together, but they're aware of each other, and they give updates on everything. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah,
Nintendo's Pokemon's working together.
And we obviously talked about Fallout 6 and or 76, sorry.
Oh yeah,
and all that kind of stuff. But
for Bethesda.
But we don't want to touch on stuff we've already talked about in the last podcast. We want to
for if we're going into Bethesda, do you guys talk about Rage 2?
Oh yeah. Oh, we touched.
Oh,
on
Rage okay.
2. Oh, yeah.
All right. Fine. I'm that far behind.
Who do you think we are?
Yeah. Right. You guys cover it all.
Yeah. speaking of covering it all, Video Games Now will be all over E3, and we'll be watching all the press conferences, taking all the notes, releasing articles on our website, and also snippet videos, basically summarizing all the press conferences in like short 10 to 12 minute videos, just so you don't have to watch the whole press conference. And I told Cole we're doing that today, and he's like, "Oh man, I'll be watching your videos because I don't have
time."
Yeah,
that's what I'm doing. I'm not gonna watch the full press conference. I'm just gonna watch the short abridged version.
Yeah. Lots of swearing. No, just kidding. Anyways, so why don't we talk about Microsoft first? Let's get into Microsoft and what do you got, Will? What's your predictions for Microsoft? What do you think they're gonna bring to the table this year?
Well, I think, well, we know there's Halo 6, but the new rumors out there is that they're bringing a Halo game to E3, but it is not Halo 6.
I wonder if it's like that Halo Arcade that we shared on our
the
website.
The Halo Arcade is apparently only going to be arcade. So the only thing I can think of is that there's another Halo game that's been in development that's a spinoff, similar to ODST or Reach.
Man, if they made, like, Reach 2, like, I mean, I know Reach 2 is like Halo 1, but a game very similar to Reach, money. Instant money.
Reach was my big Halo game, too. I played so much Reach.
Yeah. I still think it's the best multiplayer Halo game out there.
I agree. You can't knock Reach.
Oh, it's so good. The maps were...
Reach was all Bungie. That was their last one that they did?
Yeah. And then they sold it to 343, yeah. But yeah, I mean...
No, Bungie still did Halo 4.
No, 343 did Halo 4. That was the first one they did.
You sure?
Yeah. I actually know something that you don't, apparently.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the way it is.
Will's our, like, fax checker and know-it-all Sibs. Gamer dude. And then... Come on, Will.
Oh, you're right. Yep.
Come on, Will.
Take that one and smoke it. Anyways, I thought Reach had the best maps out of any of the Halos. It had like the close quarter maps. I can't remember any of the names of them right now because I haven't played Halo Reach in a Coon's age. But it had the best maps in terms of like the size, the level design. It just worked out really well. And I don't know. I felt like everybody was like equally good at Halo Reach. Like there wasn't like superstar players. Like I felt like it just balanced out really well, you know?
Yeah, the pacing for it was really, really good.
Yeah, you basically summarized everything I said in like three words.
Yeah, it was well paced out game. I think the I like the campaign as well. The single player campaign was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I didn't expect everyone to die in the end, honestly. Oh, sorry, spoiler alert, but if you haven't played Reach by now, you're kind of late.
Yeah, right, who's going to be picking up Reach new at the store and being like, I want to play this new Halo game?
Yeah, and then they listen to this podcast. Oh, spoiler alert, I had 7.5 years to play this game.
But I mean, it is a prequel to Halo 1, so where are they all in Halo 1?
Yeah, I guess, yeah. But anyway, so Halo 6, obviously, is what we're expecting at this, because it's been 3 years, I think, now since the last Halo game came out, and we're hoping that it's not dog shit like Halo 5 was. What are your thoughts on that, Will?
Yeah.
I did not like Halo 5, so dog shit sums it up perfectly for me.
It is not worth the ground the dog shit lays on, so... Yeah. Anyways, so Halo 6 needs to blow me out of the water. I'm not sure where to even start with Halo 5 because I had a lot of issues with it with the drastic change in gameplay where it didn't feel like Halo. It felt like more Call of Duty Advanced Warfare almost, if that kind of builds a little bit of a picture for people. What about you, Cole? What were your thoughts on Halo 5?
Man, my thoughts on Halo 5 is I barely played it. Like, I could not get into it. I played Halo 2, 3, Reach, I played ODST, and then 5 was kind of the one that killed it for me a little bit. I couldn't get into it. I like fighting aliens, you know, like, I'm not a huge into games where there's a lot of, like, robot fighting, and the alien species that they brought in, like, the kind of the mechanic one.
Prometheans?
Yeah, those, I just, like, fighting those, there's just nothing like when you're shooting something and like metals and sparks are coming off, it's just not as satisfying as like blood and guts and bits, you know, like if I'm going to be shooting something, I want to take the life from it rather than shut it down.
For sure, yeah, and I found with this is becoming a Halo podcast more than an E3 podcast, but I found with the exception of 2, all the Halos have a very fair challenge. Like when you're playing on Legendary, you know, when you beat, like, say, you know, a group of elites or a group of brutes or whatever, like, you feel really, really good because you've outsmarted these characters who are actually, like, the AI is really, really good, right? So you have this satisfaction as a player that you've overcome this obstacle, whereas Halo 2 is just a bloodbath and not favoring you, obviously.
Yeah.
We should start cutting it soon, though, on Halo, because we have a lot of other games. We should maybe do a Halo podcast in the future. I'm sure we all have a lot to talk about there.
There's a lot of content there.
We'll talk about Halo after Halo 6 is teased, and we'll just kind of break down the trailer and all that kind of stuff, I think. Is how we'll play that card game.
Yeah, and if the trailer's hot garbage, that's literally what it's going to end up being.
Oh, buddy. Yeah. Hot garbage at show. Go ahead.
To help us get off the Halo topic, are you guys excited for Call of Duty Black Ops 4?
Well, we kind of we're both mixed. We briefly talked about it on a previous podcast, but I'm interested to see how the Battle Royale is going to play out. And we were talking about how much damage it would do to Fortnite, and I don't think it's going to do much damage to Fortnite at all. Maybe for a week, like, everyone will buy it.
I don't think it'll do any damage to Fortnite.
Yeah, it'll, like, for a week, you know, the server count might go down while everyone tries out Black Ops 4 Battle Royale, and then it's going to be just balls, and then everyone's going to go back to Fortnite.
But I mean, even if it's not just balls, it's not going to be the same, because Call of Duty, like, even if it's really, really good, like, let's just say the Battle Royale for Call of Duty is really, really good, that's not what holds up the game. So even if people like it and they bounce back and forth to it, I don't think anybody's going to leave Fortnite to make this their new platform. Even if it's good, even if it's bad, I don't think it's going to hurt the numbers no matter how it works, because it's not what Call of Duty is. There's so much more to Call of Duty. This is just one aspect of it, where Fortnite, that's the whole thing.
Well, they also have the zombies mode as well coming up in this version. So
yeah,
that'll be interesting. We're basically digging up our graves here from past podcasts. But I mean, the zombie mode, I'm hoping, is a little bit more fleshed out than the one in World War II. Because just the one map, I mean, the one map was, you know, had a lot to do, and you had an alternative objective throughout the mode, but like I said, it's just the one level, right? There's no more. I'm sure there's more levels now that I traded the game in, and I don't care anymore.
The I think they've already released the second Death Shores or the Darkest Shores. That was the second zombie map, and they're working on the third one right now.
Okay,
but yeah, Darkest Shores was pretty much exactly the same as the first one, but it took place on an island, like a bunker. Island,
right.
And you just go through the bunkers, and you can ride on minecarts. But it's very the steps you have to take. Like, there's a lot of objectives you have to do in order to beat the Easter egg. So you're constantly doing steps, and you're like every single level and every single zombie you do, it counts towards doing the steps. There's not a lot of like survival to it,
right?
Unless you try to go out of your way, it's very Easter egg step oriented rather than survival and like hunker down. Like, say, like the very, very first zombie map was that small house.
Right. Okay. That sounds interesting, but it doesn't make me want to go buy the game again, because, I played a lot of World War II, but I got kind of bored relatively quick.
The thing that annoyed me was the costumes. Like, everybody could just buy, or not buy, but everybody could unlock all the different wardrobe for their character.
Yeah.
And I just got confused. I couldn't tell who was on my team and who wasn't, because everybody looked so different or exactly the same that I couldn't tell who was on what team. And I play on hardcore, so I mean, you end up shooting your buddy in the back of the head because he's dressed exactly the same as the guy who's killed you like 13 times in the last match.
Yeah. All right, so let's move along in the podcast here for Microsoft. So obviously there'll be some sort of new Forza, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I'm not big on racing, but there's definitely going to be a new Forza. It's one of their big titles.
Yeah, Forza Horizon
and
4, yeah.
It was leaked, was it not, with the Walmart Forza 5?
You know what, yeah, it was. Something. Yeah. Well, yeah, Forza 5. Where's Forza 4? But yeah, no, Forza Horizon 4 will probably get revealed at some point. And, I mean, there's not much to talk about a racing game. You drive and you try to win. And I don't know. I haven't played any of the other Forza games, so I can't really bash it too much. I don't know about you guys.
I played. I think it was the one they announced like 2 years ago. Forza. Can't remember. It was good. Like it, I really liked the aspect and the physics of the game.
Right.
But I just feel like driving games, like they just don't have any story or whatnot. You're just racing.
Yeah.
And it's just nothing that keeps me very into the game. I lose interest very fast.
Yeah. Sorry, Cole. I was digging Need for Speed Underground when it first came out because you could modify your car, and I thought that was cool. And that, I mean, maintained my interest longer. But yeah, same thing. You lose interest because it's just a repetitive game.
Mm-hmm.
I played a lot of Need for Speed Underground. That was an awesome game.
And then, so moving on with Microsoft. Probably a way bigger one than Forza Horizon 4 would be Gears of War.
That I would. This one has been rumored for a while. I can't. Cole would know this the best because he's a bit of a gearhead. When was our last Gears of War?
Our last Gears of War was was it 4 years ago? Maybe it was less than that because I have the Gears of War special Xbox edition, which came out. Came out in 2016, so just 2 years ago.
And there's a rumor going around that we could get a triple threat Gears of War thing going on here, where they have a main core game, and then they'll have a traditional sequel, if you will, and then they'll have a real time strategy title in the style of Halo Wars and a battle royale mode. So, how does your panties feel after that? Hearing that news, Cole.
Wow, actually, I'm just looking this up right now. I had not heard anything about that before. And that sounds pretty crazy. I'm huge into strategy games. And we talked about it in our strategy one. I feel like Halo 5 kind of missed the mark a little bit. But if they're able to nail it for Gears of War, that would be awesome. I would be very, very much into that. Because I love the world. I think there's so much... like. Even in Gears of War 1, when you first start off, there's so much that happens before that. I guess they touch into a little bit in Gears of War Judgment, but there's so much around the world that they live in, and I think it would be really cool to see that in a strategic game. And even Battle Royale, like, I love the Horde mode. I think Horde in Gears of War is so much fun. Horde 2, or Gears of War 2 Horde was my favorite, because it was just very simple. You know, I enjoyed the building aspect, but I just loved... in Gears of War 2, how terrifying it was when you just get dropped on a map and you're constantly being raided by enemies. So I think a Battle Royale version would be... I think that would be really fun. So that does get my panties all knotted up.
Yeah, and it seems like there, you know, with now that we have the big PC base, I guess, for Windows 10 and Microsoft's kind of dual releasing all these... games both on console and on PC. I think that the user base, because there's already a big fan base, but the user base is going to expand even more with the Windows 10.
Yeah, I'm digging that because I mean I do that. Like I have my Xbox and my PC, so I'm doubling up on everything. Like I'll play Sea of Thieves on my Xbox, or I'll play it on my PC depending on the mood I feel in it. If I'm going more hardcore, I'll play it on PC, but if I'm casual and just collecting stuff, so I like the fact that Microsoft is what is it called? Play Anywhere? The Play Anywhere games, I love them.
Yeah. I only have one major issue with, because I play on PC too, in the Xbox app. I have one major issue with the Xbox app, and that is that the IP helper thing in the services in your computer, like, totally fucks with your NAT type. So I'll join up, like, this has happened to us multiple times. Well, I've tried to join your party, and then I've joined your party, but I can't talk to you because it won't let me talk to you, and then I have to go through all these different steps to like get my microphone to work, and it's just super annoying.
For me, I did the same thing. My microphone wasn't working, and something got messed up, and it was like you have to deactivate this certain file that's on your computer, and it tells you how to get down to that file. But my computer didn't even have that file, so I had to go to a different part of my computer to tell my computer that I had the file. Like, yeah, it's just a complete mess to figure out how to get there. And it took me a few hours to finally get my microphone working. So I fully agree with you on that.
Yeah. But anyway, so Microsoft is, I think they got a decent enough lineup to hold their own at this E3. Who, Will, in your humble opinion, who do you think's taken the E3 cake home over the last few E3s?
Last year, it was definitely Nintendo with the Switch. But I think in the last decade, it's been Sony, and nothing but Sony.
Pretty well, yeah. We'll talk about Sony a little bit later in the podcast, but and their lineup. But yes, just looking at the overall titles that we think are coming to the Switch. I'm sorry, are coming to Microsoft's press conference. I do think they have a decent enough lineup where they can hold their own against Nintendo, and because they're going to be a big contributor this E3 with Smash Brothers and probably the new Metroid. Right, so. We got Halo, they got Forza, they got probably Triple Threat Gears, and probably Crackdown 3, like you said.
Well, Crackdown 3 has been in development for a while. It's been, I guess it was announced way too early. That's why it's been delayed too many times that it's aggravated fans. The hype is like surrounding the game is now pretty much faded. I think Microsoft, if they want Crackdown to be any type of title that sells copies, that they're gonna have to really push a good showing for Crackdown 3 at E3 over the weekend.
Yeah, if I had a dollar for every time a game actually got released on time, I could probably buy a coffee.
You'd probably be buying a coffee store.
Nah, how many games have actually been released on time? Like none. They all get pushed. They're like, oh yeah, yeah, we'll release it early 2018. Oh no, sorry, it's now holiday 2018. It's they always get pushed. They're always behind.
We can't forget Microsoft last year also announced quite a few interesting indie titles.
Yes, and
remember there was one game called The Last Night. I remember it was kind of like a 2.5D platform game in a cyberpunk world where the machines have taken over the world.
Was that
awesome?
Yeah, and then there was that other one, the We Happy Few.
Oh yeah, We Happy Few. I was really into that, but I never ended up buying it. It's on my wish list on Steam.
Yeah, well, it had the beta. The game was very broken or something in the beta, so it lost a lot of its momentum. But the game is now being published by Gearbox, and it's set to release this year on Xbox One, PS4, and PC. So I have I expect We the Happy Few to have a debut trailer, hopefully for Xbox, because they were planning it off as one of their big indie titles.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I still see stuff popping up. Like, it's so weird. I'll hear nothing about it, and then all of a sudden, like, this big thing will come out where they're announcing it, and then it'll just disappear again.
Yeah.
I'm actually excited to go back to the Nindie Lounge this year at PAX, Will.
Man, I had the most fun there.
Yeah, well, we were first in line, but we totally cheated.
So shady.
Oh, we totally cheated that line. But for those who don't know, PAX West, their tickets went on sale last week, and we got some tickets for, obviously, the VGN crew to go there, and we'll cover some stuff there for you guys, but there might be a chance that we're giving away some stuff later. Probably later in the month, we'll start our contest for possibly getting some free tickets to PAX. So stay tuned for that. And yeah, we're gonna go back to PAX and have a good old time. Maybe you guys can meet us there. All right, so let's move it along here. Microsoft, I think we've tied that bow nice and neat here. So why don't we move down to EA? Let's talk about some EA stuff. What are you guys? You guys excited for NHL 19, or what? You know, what do you think?
Man,
go ahead.
Okay, my NHL game. NHL peaked for me in 2000. NHL 2004. That was my NHL game. I've played some of the new ones, and I really enjoy them. But for me, they're almost too complicated. Like, I'm not very good at sports games. And my buddies are really, really big into it. And I just find, like, flicking the stick and all the fancy things that they have, I just can't really get into it too much. So I'm sticking with my NHL 2004.
I'm going to share my your feelings with the NHL series, because 2003 was my favorite. I don't buy them every year because it's a waste of money, but so I basically every 7 years I bought it. So I had 2003, and then I bought 2010, and then I bought 2017. So I've been alive a long time. Every 7 years I give it another shot, see what's been updated. I didn't mind 10. I liked the options, or sorry, the amount of game modes that it had. And then 17 had pretty well the same game modes. They had be a GM mode or whatever, and that was kind of stupid, honestly. I don't really care about the behind the scenes of how to make a hockey team. I just want to play the freaking game. So, yeah, that was kind of my feelings on it. But yeah, 2003 I think was my favorite.
That's funny. 2003 was your favorite. 2004 was my favorite.
I think, like Cole said, like the games for EA, especially as we get like more, strategical and stuff like that. The controls, they're getting a lot harder. I like Madden now. Like the controls from switching between characters and catching, throwing, rushing, it's complicated. It's not as easy as it used to be.
And I think that's super rewarding, though. You know, like if you're into the games, if you love those games, that's such a good thing. You know, it's like the being able to master that. It feels much more. It's like mastering any other game, you know. So I feel like it is more rewarding. But for somebody who just wants to sit down and just like play for fun, you know, or just like sit down and kind of have it like a party game, it takes away a little bit from that. You know, it separates the. Having fun from being really, really good.
And also, like, you know, for someone like me who has a fiance that is not into video games, and I want to maybe be like, hey, you should play this game with me. If she's playing a game where, like, you have to push, you know, 16 different buttons all at once, she's going to freak out and not play with me.
Yeah, definitely.
So Pokemon Let's Go is it looks like it's... Because you just need one Joy-Con from the Switch to play it, so... Hopefully I can get her on board with that.
I think going back to EA, though, also, have you noticed they've been adding story to their games, especially their sports titles? Like a couple years ago, we had FIFA with a career mode, but it's actually following like that one character's story. And then last year we had in Madden, the football college career or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a feeling this year we might get that with NHL.
That's good because it gives you a purpose to the game more than just, oh, I'm playing for the team I like. As like I played be a pro in NHL games, and I liked it because it was my character, right? And I wanted to continue through my own career. But if you're given a story like... I didn't play the FIFA one, but I would imagine it's like, oh, you know, they're never going to give me a chance to be on a soccer team, and then you are, and then you want, you know, you're given more drive to complete the story of the game.
But, yeah, like it follows like high school, college, and stuff like that, and then you go pro, and then you know you pick your team, and you know you still play for them and try to keep going.
Do you guys play NBA at all?
Oh, I hate basketball with a passion. Like the actual sport, I hate it.
Basketball is my favorite sport. I love playing it. But do you guys know about the NBA 2K16 storyline?
Yes, the one where you're like a toon.
Yeah, that's where you're taking your story to. Yeah, Spike Lee's version of that story was just so freaking ridiculous. Like, I think there's a good way to balance sport and story, but. You can't overkill a sports game with too much story.
Yeah, I agree with that as well.
But yeah, moving on from sports though, EA also has the license to Star Wars.
That they do. So, what do they have to do to win the Star Wars fanboys back from Star Wars Battlefront 2?
They need to release. The original Battlefront 2, just re-release that game with better graphics. That's all they need to do. Who cares about anything else? Just re-release Battlefront 2. Do it with the graphics for now, and it'll be perfect.
Yeah,
That's all anybody wants.
Go ahead, Will.
I kind of want another campaign. like Star Wars campaign. Like I really liked what was that one for the original Xbox? I'm trying to remember.
I was even
where you started Jedi Academy.
Oh man, what's that called?
Where you started in the Jedi Academy, and then your choices are what you wanted. You could either pick the light side or the dark side.
Star Wars Jedi. I think it's Star Wars Jedi Academy. Yeah.
I was even thinking of the one for the 64.
I'm thinking of the one for the GameCube.
Bah. We're just all like lost in thought thinking about these old Star Wars games.
Well, this game had the best multiplayer. Like before, when GameCube only had like you play with your buddy split screen, Star Wars Jedi Academy had like the best split screen multiplayer ever. I played that for hours. I would love something like that. So I'm definitely behind Will on that.
What about
It was Jedi Knight Jedi Academy.
What about a Star Wars like Battle Royale? I'm totally shitting you.
No.
Let's just make everything a Battle Royale. Let's not make games anymore. Just have everybody only make Battle Royales and that's it.
And then eventually it's going to be VR, but then you're like actually fighting the game for real like it's the Hunger Games.
Wait, I have a comment for that. Like, as much as I love my friends, Cole, Rodney, everyone else that's probably listening, I still like to play single player games. They cannot just cut single player. Like, I don't always want to have to play with a friend.
And A Way Out is a good example of that.
A Way Out, you have to play it.
That's what I mean. You're like, oh, we need to finish A Way Out. And I'm like, meh. And then we never did. And then you ended up playing with some other guy. Some other friend. You'd be like, stab me in the back, Will.
How many times have I asked you to go back? And you're like,
Yeah, but anyways,
you know the problem with single player games is Will.
What's that?
Where's the money? How come the studios aren't making money? They need to make the money. So if you're gonna buy it, your friends all gotta buy it. It's all about the money.
But that still happens. Like look at Far Cry. Far Cry is single player. The game is still a huge success. Other than like the new DLC that apparently just came out this week being complete garbage.
Well, yeah.
I'm interested in that, but. It doesn't look very good.
Well, yeah, I mean, was it the alien one?
No.
Vietnam one. Yeah, interesting that it was garbage. Yeah, like I said in the Far Cry podcast, like the game was really really good until the end. The ending sucked.
That's probably what was wrong with this too. I didn't really watch. I watched a few videos of it. I haven't played it because I haven't picked up 5 yet, but. From everyone and the reviews just said it didn't live up to the standard that they wanted as a game.
It's too bad. But going back to E3 here, or EA at E3, yep. They're also going to showcase probably Anthem, I would imagine.
I was going to bring up Anthem.
Yeah, Anthem will definitely be showcased. That's BioWare's next big IP. I don't think it's just going to be shown at EA. I have a feeling it's going to be shown on multiple stages, especially if someone can score exclusive content like Sony always seems to. I think Anthem would be a great title for Microsoft to get like some exclusive content from.
Yeah, it definitely looks interesting. I watched that trailer you sent me and it definitely looks interesting for sure. I'll probably try that out.
This looking at Anthem, it kind of reminds me of when they first released Destiny. Like, it kind of has the same feel. Like, I don't think it'll play the same or anything, but it makes me feel the same kind of looking at it because it's like a mystery, but it looks like it has so much potential behind it as well.
Yeah, I'm with you there, but I'm really hoping to see more gameplay. We've only seen teasers, a little bit of gameplay here and there since it's been announced last year. E3, I think it will make the decision for me if this is a title I will be buying next year, which I think it already has because I'm super excited for it.
I hope there's tons of loot boxes and loot crates. And, that's what I'm looking forward to.
I don't really want them to go that way because I know they're really teasing the customization for your armors that you can, like your flying suits or whatever. I really don't want to have to get like my upgrades or whatnot from loot crates. That would just...
I'm hoping that there's almost no single player option. And if there is, it's super disappointing with an uninspired story, and that there's tons of loot crates. That is like everything I'd want in this.
Your sarcasm is just perfect.
I'm not being sarcastic. That's what I want. So hard.
If that's really what you want, then like the first thing I'm gonna do next time I see you is like pull your like eyes out of your head.
Yeah. Just sever your hands off so you can't play video games anymore.
I actually think about that. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought like even if you lost like a finger, you know?
Oh
like,
man,
that would be crazy. But that brings me up. Did you guys see that new Xbox controller that they have for disabled people? Like that massive controller that you can play with your mouth and your like your elbow and your. I thought that was really cool. Like, I'm super stoked that Xbox is doing that.
I'm going to look that up because I have not seen that.
Really cool. It's like this massive, it's not like a controller, like your regular controller, but it's like a bunch of, it almost looks like a drum set. Like, you set it up and you can play like however your disability is. So like, if you have like your arm, it was like amputated up to your like elbow, they have like a certain controller that you can use for that. Or if you're like missing fingers or something like that, they have all these different pieces you can put together.
Interesting.
I'm
just looking at images now. Yeah, holy, that's some innovation right there. I didn't know Xbox did that.
I think it was smart because the only other console that actually really allowed disabled players to play was PC with a lot of their added controllers and like keyboards that they could get.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a guy who plays PUBG only using his mouth. Like,
I know, I've
like
seen him. He's good, dude.
Yeah, he's really good.
He also plays Warcraft. Well, he used to.
Oh, that's...
Man, could you imagine getting just destroyed by that guy? Like,
hey, man, I mean...
You know what? I'd give him props. I'd clap. Slow clap right there.
I don't want to stray too far off topic, but you guys... I'm really excited for Metro Exodus.
Oh, I love the Metro series. That's another game that's been delayed till next year, which kind of pissed me off. But
yeah, that sucks. Yeah, release date 2019. I want that.
Wait, the Metro series overall, man, they're great. Like the last one, Last Light, I loved it.
Oh, Last Light took like Metro 2023. Was that what it was?
Yeah.
Metro 2023 was so good, and Last Light just took everything that was good with it and made it so much better. And I really hope if they just do the same with Exodus, they take everything that made Last Light and just make it better. It'll be one of my favorite games because I love Last Light so much.
Yeah, we haven't really seen too much of Exodus. I want to see more story and where this is actually taking place. We've only kind of seen a little bit of teasers with the trailer, so you don't really know too much of the story, right?
I love. Yeah, we don't really know. Actually, I think they do have quite a bit of this trailer. Like, I mean, or the story, not through trailer, but just through like reading about the game. Like, it's more you found out you can like live above ground, and now you're trying to find a place to live or to move and get out of the metro, which is, I think it's cool because I love the open world aspect of the DLC that they had, the museum DLC that they had for Last Light was favorite bit. I played that DLC over and over again. Like, I would beat it and just play it again. I loved the open world. So if they make this whole thing into an open world like they did that DLC, I'm gonna love this game.
Rodney's being super quiet, so I'm guessing we're talking about a game he has no idea about.
Yeah, no, I'm on Facebook now. Actually, speaking of, now that I opened Facebook, I just went to our page. We just launched our new shirt, the really funny one that we were talking about in the last podcast. So you guys should check it out. We'll share it on our Facebook and our Instagram just so you guys can check it out.
Blow.
Cole, have you seen it?
No, I'm going on to Facebook right now. I'm looking at it.
Yeah,
looking at it.
You're on our Facebook. You're on our Facebook page, right?
Video.
If not, man, you've been on the podcast like multiple times. Shame on you.
I don't use Facebook. Like, I don't use it. I don't like it. I feel like it's not a good platform whatsoever, so I avoid it. The only reason I use it is because there's some things you have to get on Facebook, so that's the only reason why I use it. So,
gotcha.
Is it your Spirit of Gamer shirt?
It's newer than that.
Because I remember seeing that one. I like that one a lot. Is it in the shop? I'm checking this.
It is in the shop. Yeah,
but low one.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, that's funny. Oh man, that's hilarious.
Yeah, we wanted to come up with an idea that's kind of retro, so we thought about like an NES cartridge and blowing, and then Rodney's like, what about a cop? And I was like, oh yeah, we got this.
Yeah,
I like that a lot. That's really cool.
Oh, Will brought this up in the last podcast, but he said Starlink, and I can't remember what you're talking about exactly. I don't even remember what the frick it was. But anyways, when he said Starlink, I literally just pictured like Link in a fucking R-Wing. Just like sunglasses on, like deal with it.
Deal with it.
Yeah. And we should, I thought maybe we should get that made into a shirt of some sort.
We just have to make sure we don't screw up with a license.
We'll make Link look like Lonk or something.
I did get us off track. I was like, I don't want to get too far off track. And then my Metro last light brought us to this point.
Yeah. E3, yeah, back on topic, slap myself in the face. EA also has Battlefield 5, which we've talked about, obviously, as well, with that being in the news recently. And so we obviously know what mine and Will's thoughts on that are. So, Cole, what are your thoughts on Battlefield 5, and are you excited for that?
Yes, I am. In my earlier stages of life, how do you put it? The Call of Duty, Battlefield, War, you know, which one are you going to play? As a kid, you can only pick one. You only have enough money to pick one. I always picked Call of Duty, so I just recently got into Battlefield. And I loved 3, and I loved 4, and I loved 1 a lot, so I'm really excited to see what they're going to do for 5 and kind of bring...
Did you play, Battlefield 1?
Oh, yes, I played a lot of Battlefield 1. Yes, I did.
Yeah, I mean, like I said in the podcast, I really liked Battlefield 1, and I'm hoping that Battlefield 5 is basically Battlefield 1 too.
I was going to say, yeah, I'm excited to see them bring the graphics and the mechanics from Battlefield 1 into their next step, you know? So, yeah, it's going to be super excited. Yeah, I'm definitely stoked for it.
All right, so, I mean, I pretty well think that covers EA. Will, you know, what do you think?
I can't think of anything else.
Yeah, I mean, Battlefield 5 is all I care about because the one game mode that looks like Grand Operations, it just looks like fucking awesome. So I'm stoked. Anyways,
When I watched the trailer for Battlefield 5, it was a really well done trailer, but I almost thought it was too much in a way. You know, like it was just so much like. Going on, which is exactly what Battlefield is, but I almost thought it was too much.
Right.
Maybe it's just me.
Yeah, it could be. Could be just you. all right, we should move on to Sony here, because we're 40 minutes into the podcast, so we should maybe give some love to Sony for a little bit here. So, I'm just reading an article on Polygon here. It says Sony will cut back on big announcements. So... That's interesting, because, like you said earlier, Will, Sony was kind of like the king dick of E3 for a number of years. So, obviously they're going to announce, or not announce, but show off more of Spider-Man before its release this year.
Spider-Man's being released this year.
I was just making sure you guys were paying attention.
Yeah, September, I was just trying to think, I just can't see Sony holding back.
Yeah,
they go to E3 with the guns like out, like they're ready for war.
Pretty well, yeah, and especially with Nintendo's potential big lineup this year, and I mean Xbox has a couple of good ones too. Halo, like we said earlier, Halo and Forza and Gear and the triple threat Gears. So yeah, I mean I'm not sure what Sony could bring to the table this year other than maybe a little bit of Days Gone.
Well, they just revealed a brand new trailer for Days Gone this morning.
Ooh.
So they could show it off again, but I have a feeling what they're doing with these pre-E3 announcements is kind of giving them more time to focus on other games at the conference.
Right.
But yeah, like Days Gone looks amazing. I really like the idea of an open world zombie-ish game. Though it's not zombies, apparently they're called freakazoids or something, freaks or something.
Freaks.
Yeah. I mean, they're just zombies. Every zombie genre has their own word for zombie because a lot of people get scared off by the word zombie. They hear zombie and they're like, oh, it's another zombie game. you know, you have to have your own terminology for it.
Yeah.
The thing that they tease a lot about, they tease a lot about in like so many games, they do this where they like each playthrough is different. Each choice you make affects the world. And in these massive open world games, I find myself playing them and feeling like my decisions don't actually make a huge difference after the trailer says it will. And this did the same thing. Like, it showed you your character taking on a camp in like a bunch of different ways and all these things that you can do it. And they're like, if you do this, it does this and this and this. But I always feel like those, when they tease that, nobody ever quite gets it to the point where I feel like everybody is having their own adventure. Does that make sense to you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I hope they get that right. Like, I mean, I hope when you play it, it actually does affect everything around you. Cause I don't think I've quite played a game where I feel I played a bunch of different ways and a bunch of different things happen. You know, I just feel like I'm doing things at different times. Like, I'm replaying Skyrim right now, and I feel like I'm just doing the same things I did in my first playthroughs of Skyrim, just at different times.
I get you.
So yeah, I hope when a game pulls that off, I'm gonna be super excited where everything does actually affect everything.
Yeah. Also, the zombies are called Freakers.
Ah, Freakers.
Yeah. So the game will feature the characters. Motorcycle that you drive throughout the game. You have your Freakers, there's wildlife, infected animals as well. There's also the RIP cult. Overall, yes. Yeah, like, the game looks really good. Like, even looking at this new trailer that was released this morning, the graphics just blow me away.
I feel like it looks so good, and it looks like it's going to be an awesome game. Did you guys ever play the game Ark? We talked about it a little bit on the...
Yeah, we've talked about it many times. I still haven't played it. I'm hoping to, because it's supposed to be getting released for the Switch later this year.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I have the Xbox Special Edition, but I almost want a zombie game that's similar to Ark. When you play it, Will, you might get a better idea, or if anybody who's listening has played Ark. I feel like a zombie game in the style of Ark, that it, like, you could say that... what's that game? 7 Days to Die could be that, yeah. but like full on, like in that style would be really good. So I want something like that. And I remember in a time where I really, really wanted a game like that, Days Gone, the first trailer came out, and I was like, oh man, this is what I wanted. But then I saw this trailer and it almost ruined it a little bit for me. Not yeah. because of the game, but just because of my expectations of what I wanted and then what I saw. So I really hope it blows my socks off.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it myself, and
we just gotta get you a PS4 this year, Rodney.
yeah.
I do have to admit, the one thing though Sony has for them is their Japanese, they really have some great Japanese games. If you're fans of like anime and stuff like that, you get all these great like RPGs.
Yeah, and I mean, that's kind of all you really want to do with anime-related video games is just have them be RPGs in a way, I guess. Like, you get your, like the Dynasty Warrior-type games with, like, One Piece and the Hyrule Warriors and all those. Those are fun, but those get really repetitive really fast, and it's hard to maintain. Like, I'm playing Hyrule Warriors right now, the definitive edition, and I'm already bored, and I'm barely... halfway through the story.
But see, like PS4, like they have Sword Art Online, they have the Tales series, which is amazing. It's just the RPGs on the Sony side blow everything away.
Okay, why can't they develop a Sword Art Online game for like VR? Because that would make so much sense.
I actually think there's one in development right now.
Interesting. Cole, you watch anime, I imagine, right?
I do, but actually, I never watched Sword Art Online, because when I was first getting into anime, I was working at Target, and a bunch of people that I worked there, they all watched anime, and we were talking about what our favorite ones is, and this one girl was like, I like Sword Art Online, and everybody I was with was like, no, don't watch that, it sucks, and they just went off on it, so everybody that I was getting into anime with had a big dislike for it, so I never actually watched it.
Man, whoever those kids were needs a fucking smack, because
I was like, I can't remember how old I was. I was pretty young at the time. I was like 19, 20.
Yeah, but yeah, Sword Art Online was so goddamn good. The first, like, it's kind of split into, it's 24 or 26 episodes or whatever the hell it is, but it's split into like two major arcs, and the first arc is just so good. It just blew my goddamn mind. Like, I can't even.
Nice. I feel like anime can blow your socks off like nothing else. Like, the first time I watched Attack on Titan, it made me feel the feels like I've never felt before. So, you saying that makes me excited. I definitely will check it out now.
The other one, my personal favorite is Steins Gate. Oh, we're talking about anime video game podcast. Yeah, Steins Gate, like, blows your fucking mind.
Back to Sony. Do you guys are excited about Detroit Become Human?
The game's already out, Cole.
What? Is it?
Yeah, that's the game Mark has been playing the last... actually just finished it on the weekend. But yeah, it's already... It came out May 22nd.
Oh, man. All the trailers that I watched seemed like it was so far away. I didn't even realize that it was out already. Well, is my face red?
But I do have a game for us that I'm super excited for, even though the trailer's always... You know, I still don't know what this game's about or what's going on, but Death Stranding, Kojima's new game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. The game that PT was supposed to be?
Yeah, like, I still, like, every time I see the first trailer where Norman Reedus is holding the baby and he's, like, butt naked waking up. That was the first year, I think 2 years ago, when the game was announced. I didn't know what the game was about. Last year, they showed off some gameplay and some more story trailer. And I still don't understand what this game is about. It just looks so good. It's Kojima. It's got Mads Mikkelsen. It's got Norman Reedus. Like, what can you ask? Oh, man.
That's a full house right there.
I feel like... The games like The Evil Within, for instance, you know, like these kind of crazy, off-the-wall Japanese games, I feel like there's a really careful line between ridiculous and, like, really, really good story. You know, like, Metal Gear dances around that quite a bit, where sometimes you're like, oh my god, this is so good, and sometimes you're like, this is crazy ridiculous. This game feels like it's going to be on the good side and dipping into the ridiculousness that we love, but not to the point that it ruins it. So I'm definitely excited for it.
Yeah, and like we just said, the star power behind this game alone, like, this is a video game and they have like two huge actors in it.
Yeah, dude, Mads Mikkelsen is my friggin' hero. The guy's awesome.
Yeah, I love Norman Reedus. I remember him back from Boondock Saints before he started making it big.
Man, Boondock Saints. That was such a good movie.
Even yep. Two was good, man.
Dude, those
still
are
holding
such
up for third.
If you want to just get together with some bros and just watch two Irish guys just shoot up a Russian mob, that's your movie. That's your movie. Sorry, I have a special love for Boondock Saints. The first time I watched it, I was like, this movie is so good. Yeah. It's a firefight.
Oh, yeah. Man. I'm guessing Rodney hasn't watched the movie.
No,
so
I haven't watched the full movie, but I've seen bits and pieces.
Actually,
of it.
I recently watched the director's cut, and if it's your first time watching it, don't watch the director's cut, because the director's cut's really good, but it doesn't focus on like the fun shoot 'em up thing more. It focuses on like the brothers' relationship a little bit in the beginning and kind of pushing on to the middle. So definitely watch the theatrical first and then the director's cut.
Think,
don't jump right.
I think that's kind of standard for every movie. It's just don't watch the director's cut, because like, take Lord of the Rings. If you watch the director's cut for Lord of the Rings the first time, you just like way better time to spend.
It adds like 45 extra minutes to it. I mean, it's already this massive movie. If it's your first time, you don't want to add in that extra 45
minutes.
Dude, no,
it's like a 17 hour journey to watch all three movies.
But could you imagine talking about director's cuts? Like, could you imagine a director's cuts of video games?
That'd be amazing.
Like, there has to be so much content that never makes it into the game.
Well, they kind of make Easter eggs sometimes.
Easter eggs, yeah, but like, I didn't even like know there's a lot more. Like, even in like movies, like I have a friend who works for an animation studio. That's owned by Sony, and I can't really say what she's working on now, but she tells me all the time, like, half the work they do ends up on the floor.
Well, I mean,
you know, and it's got to be the same way for games. Like, they can't just have an idea of what they want and that's the only stuff that they animate or whatnot. Like, it's not till they're in their testing phases that they're like, okay, we should take this out of the game.
I don't. That's a really interesting thing to think about, because I mean, Naughty Dogs is a really good example of that, and they have so much behind the scenes that you can watch. And I mean, most of the stuff that they don't get through is like performances. I mean, they'll do a bunch of takes of their motion cap characters and stuff like that. But I think most of the story that they write makes it in. But that's kind of an interesting thought.
Well, even just look at the industry that we work in. We work in film, right? So, like, things change all the time. Like even today, like, we're working. We had all of our locations locked for the first episode of the show we're working on. And then, just like that, they're like, oh yeah, we wrote this scene out, and now we're replacing it with this scene, and this location got canceled. And, like, so we just did all this work to, like, secure these locations and start doing, like, contracts and stuff like that. And then it's like, oh yeah, no, forget it. Just, you know. So yeah. I can only imagine what it's like in the gaming world. But they're not dealing with real world people. They're just, like, in-house, right? So, yeah.
Yeah, but it
I think interesting.
It might be easier to, like, bring somebody in for a day of reshoot rather than completely reanimate your entire area.
But anyways.
But we got a little off topic there. I think another thing we'll probably see is, in maybe some form, some God of War DLC.
I really hope they don't. I hope they do not do any God of War DLC. I want them to be working on God of War 5. 4 is done. They told their story. Get away from that. Just bring me 5 as quickly as you possibly can.
Yeah.
I just have a feeling with it being Sony Santa Monica, we're probably not going to see God of War 5 for at least 5 years.
That's why don't work on God of War 4 DLC, because I don't care. You told your story. It was really, really good. Now, push it aside and get working on 5.
You can have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah, right? I mean, and what I'm trying to platinum God of War. So, I mean, the second I platinum it and they release a DLC with like 6 or 7 new achievements, then I'm going to have to freaking go back. And I'm playing on the hardest difficulty in immersive mode. So I'm playing on Give Me God of War with absolutely no heads up display. So, I mean, it is just absolutely relentlessly difficult. And, like, I've never had a difficulty curve as difficult as God of War. And I just, once I beat it, I want it to be over with, and I never have to touch again.
I know how you feel, though, because, like, I beat the game the first time, and then I went back and did it on the hardest difficulty with the immersive. And I'm at, like, the first part where you can fight the Valkyrie, and, man, she just kept wrecking me.
Yeah, I've beaten all the Valkyries. Like, I only have the Queen Valkyrie left to beat, but I've beaten all the other Valkyries. Like, I mean, I'm so close to platinuming the game on Give Me God of War on immersive mode. So I do not want any DLC to ruin my experience.
You mentioned
that, Sony Santa Monica, bring on the DLC.
You mentioned a difficulty curve, but the way you guys just describe it, I don't think there's much of a curve. It's more of a wall.
Oh, but the walls at the beginning, the second, like, when you get the Chains of Chaos, the game gets way easy. Like, the Chains of Chaos just absolutely wreck. But I mean, I love the Leviathan axe, and I thought it was so much fun using it. But the second the chains came, I was like, this is the only thing I'm using.
Yeah, I was the same way, because it brought me back to, like, the old God of War.
So let's get back on topic here with Sony. So what are your thoughts of Last of Us Part 2 coming to E3 for Sony?
Definitely going to be there.
Yeah. That's actually the reason I bought a PlayStation was for... Well, it was for the... Not Dark Souls. What was the other one? The
Spyro the Dragon.
No, what was the other Dark Souls game? The one before
Demon Souls,
not Demon Souls. The one that was separate from the series, the standalone
Bloodborne.
Bloodborne. I bought my PS4 to get Bloodborne, but I bought the Last of Us edition, and I loved the Last of Us. I thought it was so amazing. So I'm stoked for the second one.
Yeah, the game was amazing. you can't really knock it. Mark will, because he says the game's too hard and he's playing on like normal.
Man, that's another game I beat on the hardest difficulty. And once I beat it on the hardest difficulty, I unlocked the next hardest difficulty. So I'm halfway through beating it on the actual hardest difficulty.
You gotta hate that.
That was like back in the day when I was playing Pokemon Puzzle League and I was a noob. Shut up, Will.
I still consider you a noob after last year's show.
Yeah. Anyways, and then you beat hard, and then it's like, oh, very hard option. And then I'm like, oh, what's this? And I played the very hard option, and then I beat that. And then it's like, oh, super hard. And I'm like, ugh.
Just start me off with super hard so that I can beat it on the hardest difficulty and then go back and enjoy it. People are like, I want to enjoy my first playthrough. And then I want to beat it on the hardest difficulty. Well, like, no, give me the hardest you got. Throw everything you have at me. And then once I've beaten it, I will see if it's worthy enough to go back and actually have fun playing.
Man, but no, that game was not like that at all. Like, because if you play on super hard, you get fucked so fast.
That's what I want, man. That's how you get good at the game. I mean, but, yeah, I mean, would rather
on this game. On this game, you have to play to get better because you have to figure out.
I don't believe you. I'm playing Pokemon Puzzle League hardest difficulty right
now.
Oh,
you're gonna literally right like now. 8 years of my life. Like, the only reason I beat super hard the first time was because there's like a 0.05% chance that the computer will just suicide.
Oh my god, I had this game. I had this game for my Game Boy Color.
Yeah.
Oh, no way. But I sucked at this game. I was so bad at it.
Yeah. But yeah, there's a 0.05% chance that the opponent would suicide, and that happened with every single one except and including Mewtwo. And you, if you lose to Mewtwo, you have to beat Gary Oak again on stage 15. So it's like, yeah. Mewtwo suicided, and I was like, oh my god. And that's how I got good at the game, is I just played super hard, like, for my whole life.
I haven't even seen this game forever. I forgot this game existed. You're bringing back some mad nostalgia for me right now.
Oh, man, yeah. I embarrassed the shit out of myself at PAX last year, but we've talked about this before, and I don't want to re-embarrass myself on the air again.
It's fun.
So, anyways, we should briefly talk about Square Enix.
Well, you know, another game, I don't know if this will be a Sony exclusive, though, I just want to bring up is Overkill's Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're still teasing.
They're working on that four-player co-op Walking Dead game. That, unlike the Telltale games, it's actually going to be set in the universe of the comics.
Right.
Oh,
okay.
Interesting. I love the comics. I read the first seven full, not issues, but full, like, booklets. And I really enjoy the comics.
Yeah, it sounds very, like, reading it now, it sounds way too close to State of Decay, which worries me. But I know from what I've seen of this already, this game does have a story mode. But it says, takes place in Washington, D.C. The game is a test of strategy and endurance, where players will be securing supplies, rescuing survivors, and clearing zones of danger as much as possible. Each player will also have their own skill tree, allowing their unique playstyles and squad roles.
Okay.
So, you know, reading that sounds like State of Decay right there. Like,
did you guys ever play This War of Mine?
No.
Okay. Such a good game. Really, really, really good game. But it took the juggling, surviving people to the max. You know, like, when I play those games, I'm kind of a perfectionist. Like, I don't like to lose anybody. I wanna keep everybody alive, and I wanna always have my community being the best it can be. But almost every single game of This War of Mine, you had to lose somebody in order to beat the game. Like, somebody had to die, and that was such a hard thing for me. So if this game plays it like that, I'm going to be so anxious the whole time.
Yeah, but anyways, we should move back to E3 lineup. We should talk about Square Enix briefly before we sign off, because now we're over the 60-minute mark, which is... We did a poll, and people are like, we like 30 to 60 minutes.
Yeah, well, it's E3. They had to expect, you know, we're talking about what they want to see, what they might be seeing. So,
yeah.
Split it into two and three.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's too late now. It's a freaking E3's tomorrow, so.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Not tomorrow. Saturday.
Tomorrow when people listen to the actual podcast.
Yeah.
At least them together.
Yeah. I like how Cole liked my little goat noise.
Man, there's too much to talk about with Square Enix. I mean, with like with Chrono Trigger and Tomb Raider and Final Fantasy and too much.
Kingdom Hearts.
Oh my God! Yeah.
Yeah. Brandon, our fellow Fortnite extraordinaire master, is just the
you
biggest.
You will have to have a just Kingdom Hearts episode with Brandon. Oh. Where you just like unleash him to talk about Kingdom Hearts. He did with me in Smash.
He might just be unmonotone for like a whole episode.
That would be ridiculous. I have not heard Brandon unmonotone in my entire life.
I think we should do that. Coming up, we should do a Kingdom Hearts podcast. Maybe a week or so after E3, once we've settled with all the news and all the announcements. And
right. Yep.
Yeah.
I agree. But I sum up
Square Enix by saying we're excited for all the Square Enix stuff.
I thought it was funny when Brandon was on the podcast in episode 5. And we're asking him all these questions, and he just sounded so unexcited.
It's like Will at the beginning of the podcast.
My little robotic.
Episode 1, Will.
Oh, hey, here's a
how's
little
it going?
Here's a little behind the scenes thing. Episode 1, just before we started recording episode 1. Or no, it was episode 2. We did episode 1 and episode 2 in the same day. And we recorded episode 1, and I did the intro because I have voiceover experience or whatever. So I was just showing Will, oh yeah, here's how you do it or whatever. And then we had him, he was going to do the intro for the second episode, and it's still the only one he's ever done. And he's like, I want to just do a practice run. And I'm like, all right, sure. So he just practiced. He was just reading the script off his computer, and he sounded like Siri, but like in the 1995 version of Siri. Just like, hello, everybody.
When
man.
Says, I want a practice version, record it.
Oh, anyway. I know. I was so choked. I was so choked we didn't record it. It was gold. It was
so funny. But just slowly press the record button when they want to practice. Just be like, yep, practicing right now.
Yeah. Oh, I died. I literally just couldn't. I couldn't even handle it anymore. I just died laughing. It was funny. But I think the best behind-the-scenes thing we ever did, which is available on our Patreon if you guys are interested, is when we played Bean Boozled.
Oh God!
Good time.
Yeah, basically it's a box full of Jelly Bellies, but some of
they
them
should go
taste
check it
good.
Out. Don't ruin it for them.
Well, we give them a general summary of what's going on. Don't just be like, "Hey, this is a shirt, buy it." but yeah, basically it's a box full of Jelly Bellies, and some of them taste really good, and some of them taste really, really not good. And you have to like flick a spinner, and it tells you which color to get. And then you're basically playing Russian roulette with your taste buds. And it's when you get the when you get the rotten egg, it's something fierce.
Oh, I don't know, man. I thought the rotten milk was worse.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Oh, and the dead fish. The dead fish.
No. What was the okay bad one?
They were all bad.
Grass. Nah.
No, grass was okay. Yeah.
Soap.
Yeah, but anyways, I think we've reached the end of our rope here. It's 11:30. We all got to work tomorrow, so we're about done here. So let us know your thoughts, guys, for E3. We'll work hard tomorrow at our regular day job, and then we'll come back and we'll hit it hard with E3 and get you guys all the information you guys want coming from all these developers and studios. So my name is Rodney again, and Will and Cole are gonna sign off. Thanks a lot. We'll see you all in the next one. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.